and a warm welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's win over Forfar, preview this Saturday's trip to Boro' Briggs to take on Elgin City, and at the weekend, there were milestones on the field for co-managers Ryan Strachan and Jordan Brown. We'll take a look at those as well. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Tune Podcast. I am Colin Byers, and with me on this still very windy section of the northeast is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thanks, Colin. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Still batting and doing the hatches. Still quite breezy in up here. As near as breezy as it was on Saturday. Mark McCollum seemed to be having the best that Efterlins with the goal kicks, etc. But yeah, pretty horrendous for a mid-April weather-wise.
If you looked at the window, you wouldn't think it's mid-April, would you? As you're sitting there with your cup of tea or cup of coffee, just trying to keep warm.
I've had to put the Mazzy on. I put a big light on because it's getting dark all of a sudden in here. Looking at the wind and it's starting to push the rain. So yeah, we're really enjoying this global warming. Partly is happening down in Dundee, and but in the up here certainly.
I mean, 100 yards down the road in Dundee, on the same road as well, by the way.
Aye, I know.
It's exactly. Not been done dice, but you even had your shorts back on Saturday. You wouldn't be putting them on today.
I'll have to admit the shorts were a mistake on Saturday because by the time I got home I was frozen. But it looked at the windy, as you said, and it looked fine, and it was forecast to be fine, but no, it suddenly just went a bit pear-shaped.
Aye, the weather played a huge part in the game on Saturday as well, but aye, it's certainly not the greatest weather up here, that's for sure.
No, but the main headline face Saturday is that is the playoff spot now secured. You look at the start of the season, and after the shambles of last season, where we were, I guess this would be the sort of almost minimum or expectations that we had at the start of the season.
Yeah, I think so. I think everybody realised that the good work that Ryan and Jordan had done in terms of the recruitment, they got it done nice and early, and you could really tell that their philosophy and their game plan was early on in the season and how they wanted to tackle things going forward. Yeah, I think minimum would have been playoffs. Again, some folk outside the club didn't really have much hopes for us, but I think that was based on the team that David Robertson had and his players. Obviously, that completely changed in the summer. But yeah, minimum, I think, was playoffs. We've achieved that objective. But you're hoping, again, that you can just go that one step further and maybe do slightly better, towards the end of the season.
So Peterhead Dumbarton definitely qualified. They won Saturday as well, so they're definitely in. Spartans, it looks like it's going to be Spartans as well. They're 7 points ahead of East Fife with 9 points left to play for. East Fife getting that massive defeat on Saturday sort of curtailed them a little bit. Spartans play Bonnyrigg on Saturday, and East Fife are at Forfar, so it could well come down to the final day, because Spartans and East Fife play each other on the final day. But in terms of the spots that we're in second at the minute on goal difference, you would much prefer to finish second, hopefully get that second leg at home for the semi-final.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you want to try and finish second. It's not the easiest couple of games. Away to Elgin, you've got Spartans as well, and then Dumbarton. So, but it's in your hands. The fact that you're playing Spartans and Dumbarton, I think it's firmly in your hands. As you said, it's only goal difference we're there just now, but if you can try and cement second place as soon as possible, it really just, it just eases things out. Again, as you said, you get that second leg at home, which could be a massive advantage.
And obviously, we sort of have a wee peek at League One as well, just to see what the situation is there, because we may well end up playing whoever plays finishes ninth, I should say, in League One. So at the moment, you're looking at Queen of the South, Annan or Stirling. Stirling's in ninth at the moment, but there's just 3 points separating those three sides. And again, you look at the way the fixtures are going to be. Stirling play Arran towards the end of the season as well. Arran and Stirling both play Edinburgh, so I don't know if that's going to be a massive advantage for them, or if that's going to be a disadvantage to Queen of the South. But out with those three sides, we've already played Arran this season and we've beaten them. For a long time, it seemed to be it was going to be Arran. But Stirling are the team that are really in a bad bit of form at the minute.
Yeah, and I think that might, you know, play a factor as well. The fact that Stirling's form's really not good at the moment. It's good this time of season, is it? You're sort of keeping an eye on your own division. You're also looking at other divisions, other teams, what's happening. And it's quite exciting if you're involved in it for the right reasons. But as I said, I think Stirling's run, okay, that they've got Edinburgh still to play Arran, but their run's near that good. But Arran's been in around that area, you know, most of the season. As you said, for a long time, it looked like it was going to be them. But a heck of a journey, either way, doomed to Arran. So a weird way, sort of went Stirling's a wee bit closer home. Still 3 hours away, but still a bit closer. But yeah, I think Stirling's run. Yeah, I think if you played them and you've got a bit of confidence, I think that could be a psychological advantage, which, you know, you take all the advantages that you can get at this stage of the season.
And the thing is, if you are looking ahead to next season, and I'm being overly optimistic here, if it is end up that the Stirling Albion are the team that finished ninth, and whether it's Peterhead that relegates them or even Spartans that knocks them out in the first round, it does mean you've got a trip to Arran and a trip to Queen of the South in the same season, which is maybe not ideal, but. You know, you'd maybe want to try and knock one of them down before, you know, give us an away trip to Stirling instead.
Yeah, the only advantage would be the boys for the Central Belt. It's almost like a home game for them, isn't it? Because they have to travel all the way to Balmoor every second week. They might fancy one of them. But yeah, you want to try and knock one of them down. We've had a couple of longer ones this season, also going to some RAR. So yeah, you try and get rid of one of them, be handy.
So that battle for the second place, Dumbarton, they have got Stranraer and Elgin before the final game, which is obviously against us at Balmoor. We play Elgin and Spartans. You know, Dumbarton playing a side in Stranraer, you know, fighting for their lives. Elgin possibly will be quite happy just to finish the season and look ahead to next season because they'll be finishing mid-table. We've got Elgin and then Spartans, which, again, as I said, Elgin might be in a situation even this coming weekend where they're, you know, already looking and preparing for next season. Spartans may already have fourth place in the bag. They might not have that spot secured yet, but they've still got something to play for. So both sides have still got potentially got teams that have got something to play for.
Yeah, I think if you know, we've got Elgin, and I think they're fine. I don't think they're going to get dragged in a little one, three games to go. I think they'll be okay. It just depends what sort of team turns up for Elgin on Saturday. Also, we played them at Borough Brig and they sort of ran over us quite a bit for most of the game, apart from the last maybe 5-10 minutes. Then they came to Balmoor and their number 9 run rings on us for the majority of that game as well. But if they've none really to play for, again, as you said, they might be looking at the next season under Alan Hale and seeing how things can progress with him. Spartans might have fourth tied up by then. Again, they might not have much to play for in terms of maybe they might even rotate slightly, try to keep players fitter for their games. So, yeah, it depends how your fixtures fall at this stage of the season as well. But as I said, you want to try and get second wrapped up sooner rather than later.
So the dates for the playoffs haven't been confirmed as yet, but you're looking at the first midweek after the final game of the season. So you're looking at the 7th or 8th, Tuesday or Wednesday for the first leg, and then the Saturday 11th for the second leg, and then the final will be again the following week. So you're looking at 14th, 15th, and possibly, and then the final on the 18th. Hopefully we have 4 extra games to play after that, and they're just an extra 2. When I go too deep into the playoffs as yet, but we've still got 3 games in the regular season to play yet. But you know, playoffs, it does become a bit of a lottery. I know it's 2 leg affairs, but it really does come down to fine margins.
It does, But I think we've proved over the course of the season that we've got a very good squad, and a squad that can adapt in certain games as well. I don't think there's any team that you come up against that you go, with no disrespect, that you'd be worried about. I think we hold a lot of the cards. We're good going forward. Defensively, we've now got players going back. Jason Brown's getting more fitness. Great to see Scott Ross coming off the bench on Saturday as well. And we're probably getting key players back at the right time. Okay, Conor O'Keefe's been out the last couple of weeks, but when he was playing, he had two goals and assists as well. So we're getting players back at the right time for injuries. Suspensions have eased up as well. And I think we're in a really good place. So, yeah, any team that we face, I think it'll be a lot of games crammed in a short period of time, four games within, 10-11 days. But this is what you're winning. You're winning these big key games at the end of the season because it means you're doing things right and you're fighting in the right areas.
And as I said, already beaten on in this season, we've played Spartans, we've played Dumbarton, we've beaten those sides as well. There should be no team, even if it's Stirling or even if it's Queen of the South, to be honest with you as well, that we should be fearing.
No, you look at, okay, completely different, it's cup competitions, but we gave Dundee United a really good game. For Ayr, we were the best team for 96 and a half minutes until that sucker punched right at the end. So we've shown that we can compete against teams, two divisions higher. So even if it was Queen of the South or, Annan, you still fancy your chances even against a team higher up because their confidence went a bit high. They've had a poor season. They'll just want to finish the season, just to sort of finish and peter out and them being safe. We've got huge aspirations to go up. Yeah, I fancy us against any team.
So let's go into Saturday's game then. Against Forfar, the 2-1 win was enough to secure the playoff spot. Not quite enough to secure a second, but given the result at East Fife at Bonnyrigg had, which was, again, another one of those results which I don't think anybody saw coming, which we've said a few times already this season. There's been a few of them. Their 4-1 win and our 2-1 win was enough to secure a playoff spot. Three games to go, which is great. Job done, but under pretty horrendous windy conditions.
It wasn't a classic, that's for sure. This goes down as one of them games. You will not remember it. You'll remember it for the three goals, and that's pretty much it. Conditions played a huge part in it. But, just delighted to get the 3 points. As you said, the way the results went, everything went in our favour on Saturday. And yeah, conditions weren't great. Football on show wasn't that great, but it was one of them. We got the 3 points, and, the lads did everything that we needed to do from them.
Yeah, and it was a weird wind as well because it sort of changed at half time because obviously we played with the wind first half, which I don't know if we won the toss or if we lost the toss, but we were certainly playing towards the Balmore end first half, and then obviously the opposite way the second half. By the time that the second half started, you could see the corner flags were actually blowing towards the East Stand pretty violently, and then, as I said earlier on, Mark McCollum was struggling to keep the bar down for keeping the bar in place for his goal kicks.
Yeah, he made it well known that he wasn't happy about having to take the goal kick, that's for sure. Yeah, I don't think we won the toss. I think that was the problem in the first half, and obviously playing with the wind. Not that you would have known it, to be fair. I thought Forfar were the better team in the first half. Not that there was much competition, but I think they maybe a slight advantage and maybe dealt with the conditions better than we did. But we're the team that got the 3 points. And at the end of the day, at this stage of the season, the performance you're not really worried about. The points are that counts.
It was a call wind as well, which I think really helped the game. I think Ryan had mentioned in his post-match as well that the pitch was really dry. They were trying to water it, but obviously the sprinklers weren't in the market having too much of an effect because the water was just spraying everywhere.
Maybe they can do the Dundee and ask their groundsman for some water on the pitch. It's one of them. The playing surface was probably a wee bit sticky because they couldn't get the water on it as they would have liked. The pitch is now probably wasn't as slick as what they wanted. Now, I think at times that showed. The bar was sort of, the passing was behind some of the players. But as I said, the performance didn't really matter that much on Saturday. It was all about getting the 3 points, and the lads dug in and we got the 3 points, and that was the main thing.
There was just the two changes from the previous game. One was enforced just before the kick off. Rory had he'd picked up an injury during the warm-up, and Alfie Stewart dropped out as well, and Jordan Brown came in, and Keenan Shanks started in the place of Rory, which was a blow for Rory, especially at this stage of the season. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. But first half was pretty much a non-event, really, because of the way that the wind was blowing and the players. So the wind was pretty much playing a bigger part than the players were.
Yeah, as I said right at the start, it really wasn't conducive to good fit. But like I said, it goes in that category of we got the 3 points and that's it, it was job done. It really wasn't a great game. The wind really did take over on Saturday. In some games, the wind, it's evident it's there, but you can still get a good bit of football on show. Saturday really wasn't that. I think both teams struggled to deal with it. As you said, the wind sort of changed at half time, but I think at times it was sort of swirling during the game as well. It wasn't one of them games that you could go long with your passing because the wind would take it. The mm-hmm. pitch was sort of sticky because it couldn't get the water down on it, so it didn't make for great passing on the deck. Overall, a poor game of football, but it had nothing to do with the players. It was just solely down to the conditions of the weather.
And it because of the way the conditions were and the way the wind was, there was very little chances. I don't recall many chances for us at all, apart from Ryan Strachan had a volley for a Joe McKee corner. But if he was going to be brutally honest, I think you would maybe say Forford maybe just edged it slightly in that first half because they did create one or two mere shots, but without testing McKenzie too much.
Yeah, I don't think the shots really tested him, but I think they dealt with the conditions slightly better than we did. Considering we had the wind in the first half, we didn't really take advantage of it at all. I think Forford dealt with the conditions better. But the chances that they created were half chances, if that. But again, because there was very little on show, you sort of look at them in more focus. But I don't think McKenzie was really ever troubled in the first half, to be honest.
No, and to be honest with you, I don't think McCollum was troubled either with that. And I think McKee had a free kick as well, which went wide. I think it was slightly wider than McCollum seemed to have it covered, but it may have been closer than fit we sort of seen it as.
Yeah, I don't think it was that close in actual fact. I think it went wider than fit. A lot of people thought you got the standard oohs and ahs for the crowd, but I think it was there. I think it was wider than fit people think, but just I think McCollum, he probably would have had it covered anyway if it was on target. But again, we've seen that Joe McKee can deal with free kicks previously. He's got it in his locker, and you know, with the wind in the first half, I think it was right to take the shot on. He just didn't get his bearings just quite right.
Yeah, it was one of those. I think he actually said it on Saturday. He just needs to get it on target because the wind would have helped a fair bit.
Yeah, it was a good range. Like, even if it takes a bobble in front of the keeper, but just get it on target. The wind's completely behind you. You don't need to put much effort into it. I think if it was on target, it might have gone out. I think McCollum probably had it covered anyway, but nonetheless, it didn't go in.
And Joe McKee, another injury, unfortunately, was picked up just before half time, and then Jack Brown came on. And then suddenly, with a midfield three, a Jack Brown, Peter Pollitt, and I've totally forgotten for the
Jordan
Brown was in midfield as well. So we're a midfield three there of, you know, pretty much attacking minor players. Yeah. Because we're two or even three, if you want to keep Kieran Gibbons in mind as well. The three sort of defensive or holding midfielders were all injured. But Peter Pollitt sort of slipped into that role pretty well, and I think he was even praised by Ryan post-match again with his performance sitting in the midfield.
Yeah, it's not a position that he's well known for. It's not natural to him. I think he's done it a couple of times for us, maybe in the start in the game there, but you know, at times in the game he will drop deeper. Not a position that I would say I'm a lover of him being there. That's not because he can't do it. I just think he's much better influential with his passing, you know, behind the striker, creating space in between the lines. But nonetheless, he slotted into that role, you know, covered Joe's injury really well. Good performance for him. And yeah, it's an unorthodox midfield three for us when they hold the midfielder. But yeah, it's Ryan's in his post-match. Peter did a good job when he was called upon, and that's it. It was a team game, team effort, and we got the result for it.
And if there was ever a goal that summed up how the game was going to go, or how the game was going, I should say, was the opening goal. Hamish Ritchie with it, his ninth of the season. It's certainly going to be a goal of the season contender. Scrappy, I think, would be one word to describe it.
Yeah, right place, right time, sort of falls to him, makes his end look a wee bit, and gets it past the keeper. I mean, it's one of them, you're delighted that it's going for you, and given the conditions. Forfait, you're probably disappointed. McCallum, you're probably even more disappointed that he's been beaten for there. I know it's close range, but you know, it's taken a bobble as well. But yeah, at that time in the game, I think it was just important that we did manage to take the lead. I gave him a few chances, so it was never going to be many chances created due to the conditions that we had. But it was nice to take the lead, but I think Forfait will be disappointed in the way the goal came about.
Yeah, and I said on the day that I think McCallum should save it, or certainly get something on it. I thought he was a bit slow in getting down. Maybe it's just because it was the ball was sort of ricocheting about in that area, and there was a lot of bodies there. Maybe I'm doing a wee bit a disservice. I need to see it back again. But yeah, delighted that we've got the opening goal, because it probably would have been one of those games that the opening goal would have been pretty important, and especially for 5 minutes into the second half.
Yeah, especially I say against the wind, but the way the wind changed direction, maybe didn't have that much of a bearing in the start of the second half, the wind direction, the way it was going. But I think it was crucial that we did get one nose in front. I think at times we've maybe been burnt by teams coming up here, and I wouldn't say sitting in, but making it a dogfight for us, and then us now taking a lead. You know, the week before we scored a couple of early goals against Clyde at home, the last home game, sorry. And Forfait, they came up here in December, you know, gave us a tough afternoon, and conceded goals in the first half there. We conceded three of them doing Station Park earlier on this year as well. So I think it was important as well just to get our noses in front in the game against Forfait, and maybe just relax a wee bit into the game. But yeah, conditions played a part in the first goal, that's for sure.
And I think conditions played a part in the equaliser as well, funnily enough. Scully will get the credit for the header. But this is a big mistake from Stuart McKenzie in goal. I don't know if it's a case of the wind's taking the cross and it's going by him before he's realised, or he's just completely misjudged it. Either way, he looks a bit silly.
Yeah, I mean, on Saturday when the goal went in, you know, hugely frustrating. Because also you've seen it go over the top of him, and then the boys finished it off. But looking back on it and thinking on it, I think the wind's probably, McCain the wind played a huge part on Saturday, and I think that's maybe played a part in this goal quite a bit. But then I'd also say, with the experience that Stuart McKenzie's got, did he need to be coming for it? And I think it's almost in his 6-yard area, or maybe just slightly out, but the way the wind was, I don't know whether he needed to come for it. But then you could argue, well, if it's in his 6-yard box, you're screaming, why is your keeper not came for it? Because the ball might have held up in the wind. It's maybe one of them. The wind's just caught it, you know, really sweetly, and it's just going over the top of him. Very uncharacteristic, like, for sure. Very good coming for crosses normally, but, you know, it's Saturday was the normal conditions. I'm sure he's delighted that we got the win, because if that goal had been the one that, you know, made us drop points, he said, looks a wee bit silly. But looking back at it, maybe doing him a slight disservice on Saturday, I did, because I think maybe the wind took more of a hold of it than what I thought.
And it was that, obviously, because the wind was coming from the main stand side across to the east stand side, there was a moment, I think, right at the end of the game as well, a similar cross had come in, and the wind definitely took it, and it just whipped it past the far post, and it was almost that same scenario. They were just needing somebody to get on the end of it.
Yeah, that's definitely one that the wind certainly got behind, because it wasn't a great cross, but the way the wind was going, it made it a lot better than what it was. And yeah, as you said, if there's somebody at the back post that they've got to tap in, And that, a bit like the Joel McKee free kick, is probably maybe further out than you think, but it was still close enough to give us a bit of a worry, especially the stage of the game as well, right at the death as they're looking for an equaliser. But other than that, to be fair, to Stuart Centre-half coming for crosses, there was a few chances, a few occasions just after the goal that he conceded, that crosses come in the box and he took it very cleanly. So on that occasion, it's maybe just a wind. You know, that's the luck you've got as a goalkeeper. You can maybe catch 9 out of 10 things, but the one thing that you didn't catch and it leads to a goal, you're the last line of defence. And yeah, maybe the wind played a huge part in that one.
9 minutes later, Jack Brown got us back in front again. But actually, a pretty wonderful goal, actually, when you see this one again. Again, we were right behind it. It was a really good angle that we had of it. And Jack just doing what Jack Brown does, really, just getting into the spaces, pockets of spaces, and getting his head down and driving into the near post again.
Yeah, he seems to be getting better at it as well as the season's going on. Just finding that yard of space or an area that he knows what to run into. But a great ball through as well. Like, was it Kieran Shanks of some heap?
Yep.
I think it was Shanks who played it through. Obviously, the win, but the weight of passing it as well. He didn't, Jack, he was in his instep. He didn't have to sort of hold up for it. He didn't have to sprint. And obviously, defenders coming back, he cuts inside and a really, really good finish. I think once you cut inside, you know, if you try and blast it somewhere, the wind's just got to take it and it's not going to really be anything. But he's picked an area that he wants to put the ball in. And I think McCallum probably thinks he's going to go to his left, but it goes to the goalkeeper right. Probably maybe wrong foot him ever so slightly. But yeah, a wonderful finish. And again, as you said, put us back in the lead. And that's exactly what we needed.
He makes a big difference. His energy, his enthusiasm in that midfield certainly makes a massive difference in there.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I think the way the game was, you were sort of looking for him to go into areas of the pitch, so you could almost play a ball into an area rather than having to be pinpoint, because you knew the wind would sort of play a huge part in it. And you know, it's not the first time that he's gotten into a yard of space and created a goal or created a clear cut chance or been the focal point of the counter attacks. And as I said, I think he's getting better as the season goes on. And again, he just seems to be coming into a good bit of form just now. He came off the bench as well. The other week and it played a huge part in the game. So yeah, I think we're, as I said right at the start, I think we've got a team now that's getting a bit of confidence back. Players are, you know, getting fitter as well that have come back from injury. And yeah, we're in a good place.
And his finishing is improving. Obviously, he sort of did come when he signed for Rothes like 3.5 years ago now, whenever it was. And he had a sort of reputation of being a goal scorer, which maybe didn't see too much of it, but the more games he gets, that seems to be coming more to the forefront.
Yeah, he maybe didn't do it for the first couple of years with us. different factors, different players that you're playing with, different level opposition as well, and the quality. But I think we're really starting to see him now. I think we know what Jack's game is. He'll try and get wide. He'll try and create that yard of space. He's willing to drive in. He sort of arrives late as well at times, which is a brilliant thing to be able to you know, hear that in your locker, that you can arrive late in the box. But Saturday's goal was about that. It was about how direct he was and how calm he was in front of goal. As I said, quite easy to put out over the bar or put it wide, but he's got to a good area. He's got a calm head, collected his thoughts, and then just put it in the bottom corner, and this is exactly what we needed.
And that's his fifth goal of this season, and which is a near bad return for somebody who plays in midfield and has been sort of semi-regular. Hasn't he getting a lot of 90 minutes over the course of the season, but still chips in?
Yeah, I think Jack's one of them. He doesn't go under the radar as such, but when you've got players like Hamish Ritchie and Conor O'Keefe, you've now got Paulett in that mix as well, Andy McCarthy and Joe McKee in the midfield. He's probably unlucky in the positions that he plays, that he's got very good players that he's competing with. But that's what you're wanting as a squad. You're wanting, I think Jordan mentioned it, one of the post-matches in the last couple of weeks, that the quality that you're able to bring off the bench. Now, we said that on Saturday, look at the quality that we've got on the bench. And it's not just guys that are on the bench and being bench fillers. There are quality players that are sitting on the bench that are struggling to get in the first team. And that just encourages the players in front of you to, you know, raise your game or to be in the top of your game that you can be. And I think it's great that we've got, you know, talented players that can come off the bench and change games. I think Jack's maybe just really unfortunate. He's in that situation where there's equally as good players ahead of him.
And maybe somebody else who maybe just, I wouldn't just maybe say goes under the radar slightly, but maybe his work rate and doesn't get appreciated as much as maybe it should. Is Kieran Shanks. That was another 2 assists for him. He now has the most goals this season and the most assists this season for any Peterhead player. It's 13 goals, 8 assists, 21 goal contributions, which is almost a third of Peterhead's goals this season he's contributed to in some fashion. We've scored like 67 goals, I think it is, this season. He's contributed 21. So, you know, it's a massive a chunk of the Peterhead goals have come via Kieran Shanks or through Kieran Shanks.
Yeah, at times he doesn't get the credit he deserves, 100%. I think in that run as well, was it nine games he didn't score for? Eight?
Start the season, like
yeah. So he went on a, what you call a barren run for a striker, really, is it? So, yeah, again, you could easily add in that he could probably hit Mare. He certainly had chances to hit Mare. But, yeah, a player that probably goes under the radar in terms of he doesn't get the credit he deserves. He's very hard working. I think he is, in the last couple of months, been really harshly treated by, you know, some of the referees that we've had. Doesn't get nearly enough free kicks as what he should. We've seen that on Saturday. Things that are a bog standard free kick, he doesn't appear to get them anymore for whatever reason. Yeah, very, very hard working player. We knew that when he was in last season, that he'd be a goal scorer. He just didn't get the service into him. But he never gave up, always kept running, even when you're 2-3-4-0 down. Yeah, a player doesn't get the credit that I think he probably deserves.
You kind of fault his work rate either. Okay, he might not be getting 20-25 goals, but certainly his work rate is there. And the fact that, you know, we've had so many different goal scorers this season, and we're now just relying on one or two players to get us the goals, it comes due to Kieran Shanks and his work rate.
Yeah, I would argue if he's scoring 25 goals, then he's not going to be with us, really, is he? He would be playing for a team higher up if you're able to bang in goals like that. Yeah. We've seen that with players in League 2, League 1, that they get snapped up by other teams. But, yeah, I mean, his work rate, as you said, 8 assists, he's not just... I mean, I go back to that run that he didn't score for 8-9 games. I remember the chance that Rory McAllister screaming at. I remember the home game was at Dumbarton. He swiped one of them.
Yeah.
Tell him to get in the 6-yard box. So I think he's learned a lot for McAllister this season as well. You can certainly see the two of them, whether they're playing together or whether he's learning it from training. And yeah, I'm pretty sure he'll be here next season unless something untoward happens. But if he's here next season, hopefully in League One as well, then again you're looking for to kick on again. But yeah, really, really good player for us this season.
Just one final thing for Saturday, just worth mentioning that we just had the 2 shots on target and we scored the 2 goals. Something that we've maybe been lacking in recent months or weeks is maybe being clinical enough in goal. As I said, we just hit the 2 on target and we've scored them both. And that hopefully then continues between now and the end of the season, whenever that may be.
18th of May, hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
That would be the ideal situation. Yeah. Being critical of it, that we didn't, for our time, we weren't creating enough chances. Then we were creating the chances, but they'd taken the chances. Now we're not creating chances again, but we seem to be taking them. So it's a vicious cycle that, you know, if you've got 2 shots on target and you score 2 goals, you're delighted with it. You'd rather that than, you know, creating 10 and only scoring 2 on target, having 2 on target and 2 goals. You want to create as many chances as you can, but you want to create good chances. And, I think the finishing on Saturday, the first goal's a bit scrappy, but the second one's a really tidy finish. And I think it was good for the players that did score as well. Jack Brown, Hamish Ritchie, giving them a wee bit of confidence. That's not to say they didn't have the confidence, but, you know, it's given them a goal, because they're a wee bit of a boost going into the final, 7 games of the season, hopefully.
Fingers crossed. Right, let's get some of your thoughts for Saturday then. I'll start with Neil Thompson. It wasn't a bonny game, but the goal of the day, the goal for the day was achieved. Wind did not help, just playing in patches. It seemed a poor goal to lose. Maybe I need better communication between Stewart and the defenders, which happened in the first half as well. Should really be playing for position now, ideally finishing second. Lee Esselman, The boys stuck at it today against a decent 4-4 team. Jack Brown made a difference with his hard work and quality. Game could have went either way, but today was our day. Wayne Simpson, certainly not a great game, but dug in and got the result that we required. Not sure if the booking for Shanks today gives him a suspension for next week, but clears him for the playoffs if it does. The win was a big factor in today's game as well. Keith Bristol, poor game, great result, cracking goal by Jack Brown. Keane Shanks had a terrible game, did nothing but moan to other players and picked up a yellow card. Better game next week, Kieran. Kevin Simpson, 3 points and a win in a playoff position. Not a bad, not the best of football from today. Switched off at the back for the 4-4 goal. If their man Skelly hadn't bottled it, we would have been chasing the game. Credit to the boys for digging in and getting the second goal. Good finish for Jack Brown. No team is going to roll over and give us a win. Hopefully Joe McKee is available soon. And Gary Shanks wasn't there this week, but a massive 3 points to secure a playoff place with games still to play. Sometimes winning ugly is required, especially in a league where every team is capable of taking points off of each other. Fantastic achievement by the team, including squad players who had limited game time, but yet travel at least 3 times a week for training and games as well. It's kind of a point you were picking up earlier on about, you know, the squad and how important the squad is to, you know, to get through games like this and get through periods we've had as well.
Yeah, I agree with most of the comments on there. I think the squad's, you know, really being used at the moment, and it will be used, you know, hopefully more as we go towards the end of the season. And I think that's always been the aim. It's a squad game. I think you can see that through the way they do their warm-ups and how committed they are with each other, and they seem to always have each other's back. So I agree with Gary's comments that it's a squad game. It's fully being utilised just now, and everybody's playing their part in it.
But we often see injured players or suspended players still travelling to the away games as well, which I think is a big thing for the sort of camaraderie and team togetherness.
Yeah, I think Ryan or Jordan mentioned that right at the start of the season. Might have even been one of the training things. They said that they wanted to get that team spirit and the bond between everyone. That was one of their big things. Okay, morale was really poor for the season before, but they've got a new group in, and they wanted everybody to, you know, try and go on as best they can. You'll never get the perfect dressing room. The line was being, I wouldn't say divides, but the line would be somebody that's maybe not keen on somebody else. But they were really keen. They made a big focus on trying to get everybody together and that, as you said, the camaraderie, team spirit. So I think we're seeing the benefits of it now as well. And that's just a side thing off the park. But, you know, so on the park, everybody's fighting for each other.
Yeah, and talking of Ryan and Jordan, it was big games for them, big milestones for those two. On the field, Ryan was celebrating his 350th game for the club, and Jordan was celebrating his 300th. So obviously big milestones for those. For those that are interested, Rory is sitting on the top of the tree, as you would imagine, with 377. And it's interesting that those three are at the top or near the top in Ryan's case. And all three had spells away from the club as well. So you could imagine how many, you know, much more games those three could well have had.
Yeah, that's a thing. They've all had a stint away from the club. But, you know, there's a reason they've come back. We've said it numerous times. I know how well players are treated, how well, you know, they're looked after at the club as well, on and off the field. And that's one of them things that plays a huge part in a player when he's deciding his next move. But, you know, a terrific achievement for both, obviously, Ryan and Jordan on Saturday. I think it's quite nice. It's both the co-managers hitting that certain milestone on the same day that they both started. They both came off at the same time. There's just something quite pleasing about it, because I'll say, you know, they're co-managers, they've done everything together this season. It's completely new for them. So I think it's a nice wee touch that they're both off at the same time on them, you know, milestone days. Yeah, really, really pleased for the lads.
And even more so, it was a 3 points in the bag as well, and yes, getting the playoff spot secured as well. But Ryan has been probably one of our most consistent players this season. Like everybody else, maybe had a wee drop in form, that maybe had a couple of games, but has been really consistent this season at the back. You've mentioned before in previous weeks, how effective he was. Having Caleb Goldie sitting next to him, he's had David Wilson, he's had Scott Ross, he's had Jason Brown, our partner at centre half, but he's been one of the most consistent players this season.
Yeah, I think so. I think even more so when you think of Ryan and his performance, he's had Scott Ross beside him and Jason Brown. He doesn't really need to guide them through a game. They're experienced professionals. They came for their day, and Jason's the captain. Fantastic player, Scott Ross, really, really experienced guy. They didn't need coach through the game. Maybe Davy Wilson and Caleb Goldie, especially Caleb, he's new to that centre back role. You mentioned that to us the other week, and it's completely new for him. So Ryan's trying to affect the game from his own performance, but also trying to help somebody else through the game, and that can't be easy. So at times I think that goes completely under the radar, that he's still trying to coach and mentor somebody through 90 minutes and making sure he's in the right position, but he's also his centre back is where his left back's at, and your own players in about him. Very, very difficult job to do. Yeah, he'd maybe a couple of weeks where he's below par with his performances, but then we discovered he was carrying a wee, was it an ankle knock or a calf injury or something for 2 weeks that he was out for. But he was playing through the pain barrier, and these things maybe go unnoticed at times. Yeah, I think a really experienced model professional. You can see it on the pitch, the way he goes about things. Yeah, we're a much better team with him inside.
Yeah, he's as I said, he's probably the most consistent player that we've had this season. Solid sevens and eights this season. You're not going to get anything spectacular for them, but you know what you're going to get for him, and it's usually exactly what you're needing. A far cry for what we had last season playing in defence, but and it's interesting as well because obviously he is a co-manager, so he's got a lot of things to kind of take into account, not just obviously playing the game, but it's maybe managing the game during the game as well. I know he's obviously got Jordan on the sidelines if he's on the sideline and Jamie there as well, but to be putting in those consistent performances. As well as being a manager, it's been pretty impressive.
Absolutely, and I mean this with the greatest of respect. Ryan knows the type of defender he is. He keeps it simple. He keeps it short. He keeps it tight. He's got to get to the players who he maybe feels got that flair, got that creativity, and yeah, I sometimes the criticism is labelled at him. He seems to go square back too often. But he's retaining possession, and then he always, if he plays a pass back to McKenzie, just watch him from time to time. He points to McKenzie, and his first thought is he's telling either somebody at left back or his co-centre back where they need to be to receive the next ball. So again, he's played the pass, but he's already thinking on the next move where he can affect the game or his teammates can. So yeah, very difficult to try and do everything, but what he's done, as you said, solid sevens, eights out of ten every week.
Jordan's been the one who's been more on the sidelines between the two of them this season. Ryan's had 35 games and he's had 35 starts, so he's been pretty consistent with his. Jordan's been more on the sidelines. Perhaps maybe would have played more games this season had he needed to, but with the squad that we've got, he maybe doesn't need to play as many games. But again, I think you know what you're going to get for Jordan as well.
Yeah, I think the fact that we had so many injuries at defence at sort of one time, Jordan Armstrong's been out for a period of time, and then we've also had Danny's been out for a wee while, then with Jason and Scott both out at the same time. Ryan's probably had to play, given that experience in the back line. Jordan, not as much, because he's had Andy McCarthy, Joe McKean, and Alfie Stewart, Peter Pollitt's come in as well. So there's a few players, Jack Brown as well, can play in that middle park area. So Jordan's not really had to play, but every time he's been needed, he's put in a solid performance. And I think it's been good that with a manager playing and one on the sidelines, and obviously you've got Jamie's experience as well, putting in his input, and I think the three of them is a partnership and team. They work really well, and the way that it's worked this season so far.
And Jordan's chipped in with four goals as well this season. There's a big argument that he could maybe should have had more, but We'll gloss over that. But as I said, if he's coming off the bench, he'll sort of try and influence the game as much as possible.
Yeah, he tries to change the game and have a positive impact. So you're looking for every sub that comes on. And he maybe feels that greater sense to try and you know, impact the game, given that he's a co-manager and setting an example. Again, you can exactly think you're getting for certain players, and he's one of them. You know exactly what you get when he comes on, and you know they play to that strength as well.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens next season. Obviously, you know, whether we're in League One or League Two. Hopefully, as we said, we're in League One. Whether those two will look at it and go, do they need to play as many games next season? If that's the case, do they bring in other players? But as you said earlier on, it's almost sort of poetic that the two of them have reached these milestones at the same time, have been big parts of, you know, the major things in Peterhead's history. You know, Ryan coming in as a youngster in 2009, I think it was, and Jordan 4 years later as a youngster as well. So both sort of making their way in the game at that time, and still, you know, 10, 12 years later, still putting in the performances and still, you know, playing at a fairly consistent level.
Yeah, they've had a huge impact on the club in the last decade. You know, that isn't going unnoticed. I think the plan at the start of the season was that they weren't, certainly maybe in Ryan's case, he wasn't hoping to be playing 35 games a season. I think the plan was that he would be more trying to do the managerial side and step in when required. But the way this season's gone, he has been needed more times than not, as you said, with these 35 games. Whether that changes next season or whether they think actually the way it's worked this season has been good, with one on the sideline, with Jamie being there as well and Ryan playing. But I think, you know, depending on who comes in, there might be one or two leaves in the summer as well. I think if you've got a starting centre-back pairing of Scott Ross and Jason Brown, that's a very, very solid foundation to build your team on.
Yeah, so congratulations to them. Maybe another milestones for in the offering next season as well. So let's get on to quickly on to a wee bit of, I don't know if it's bad news, good news. It's certainly good news anyway. But you might have seen it on our socials. Back on side obviously is a big part of you know, Peterhead's partnership. In the last sort of couple of seasons, Libby put on the Backbone side social that they are struggling a little bit in terms of the amount of work that they are having to do in terms of the amount of calls that they're getting to the helplines, etc. And obviously, because it's a charity, they rely on donations and fundraising and things like that, and unfortunately they've had to close doing one of the parts of that charity at the moment. She's hoping that it will start up again, but I guess in a way it shows just how important and how needed something like that is just now.
Oh, yeah, charities like this are so, so crucial. I mean, we've all seen the statistics and, you know, the stats on the mental health issues that we've got across the country, never mind just in any area. But the work that Black on Side D, especially, as you said, with the partnership with Peterhead, but not just with Peterhead, but other clubs and other people in all walks of life, are 24/7, you could pick up the phone and there's going to be someone there to hopefully help you at the other end. If you've got 10 minutes, listen to go on to the socials. We'll put it back out again tonight, hopefully, and retweet it, put it on our Facebook as well. But it's a 10-minute video. It's quite moving. It is quite emotional. You get to Libby. She said herself, she's one of those people that answers the phone. She deals with these people directly. There is actually a waiting list, as we all know, in the country to get seen for mental health issues. It's a 10-minute video. I do encourage you to go and listen to it. And just, I'm not saying we want people to donate, but just, you know, have a listen to it. It's quite moving. And just, yeah, be very appreciative of what we've got round about us, because it's a charity that's doing a lot of good work. They are struggling financially. Joe's fundraising, again, we'll put that back out in the socials as well. Really, really important for Joe. We spoke to him, obviously, you know, last year, and we can the amount of work that he does with Back On Side. So, yeah, if you've got 10 minutes, please, please listen to him.
Yeah, and we just sort of reiterate that as well. Joe's fundraising, he's going to be doing the Edinburgh Marathon in the tail end of May. He's hoping to raise £5,000. We have put on the Just Giving page, but we will do that again. And hopefully, if you can, you know, chip in with anything, and hopefully Joe can help smash that £5,000 figure that he's hoping to achieve, because as we said, it is it's a big thing. They are need as much funds as they can get, and until, you know, the government, whether it's Scottish government or it's the UK government, start helping out these kind of charities, they do rely on fundraising and donations.
Yeah, and yeah, it's quite a moving thing for a lot of people. But, you know, mental health, I think it's getting better in years. It had this horrible, horrible stigma that was attached to it. But yeah, anything, you know, if people do want to donate, obviously they will put the Giving link up. There's Libby's video as well. So yeah, it's if you can listen to it, please do.
So let's get on to Saturday's game at Boro Briggs, or penultimate away game of the season, of the regular season, I should say. Elgin sitting currently in sixth in League Two, 7 points above Clyde. As we said earlier on, I think they're pretty much done enough to get away from that relegation fight. It's now down at the bottom, but. You know, they played 16 games in 2024 and they've lost just five. We said before the last game how well Alan Hale has done, but that's quite an impressive record, just losing the five games in 16 since the turn of the year.
Yeah, you just wonder if Alan Hale had been there the whole season. Obviously, the amount of points that they've got now, if you deal with a course of the season, they'd have been right in there in the conversation for the playoffs. So it just shows you the amount of good work he's done. He brought in a few players in the January window, and they've improved vastly. We've seen that from them at Balmour the other month as well. They're a more coherent side. They seem to know what they're doing, what jobs are needed. But we struggled up at Boro Briggs. Again, it was a horrible day with the wind up there as well and the rain. But nonetheless, we didn't play well. You know, the guys admitted that afterwards. We were on a poor run at the time. Confidence was a wee bit low. Injuries and suspensions were fairly mounting up. But I think we go up there in a totally different frame of mind. As I've touched on, you know, players are coming back from injuries. They're looking fitter now than we have done. They suspensions. Obviously, we'll be missing Kieran and Rory, so it'll be a question mark of who goes up top and might be a juggle of the pack a wee bit. But yeah, I think it would be a very good afternoon if we can get 3 points and, you know, take that step closer to cement in second.
Just to show how well Alan Hale has done, you just look at the three results in the three games so far. You know, we pumped them 6-0 in the opening game. As you said, we were up there in New Year, or just before New Year, and lost 2-1. They came here in the previous game and drew 1-1. And that's, you know, it's night and day just how good Elgin have been since the first game.
Yeah, the difference in the 6-0 down here and then the 1-1, massive difference. And I vaguely remember, I think on the day, I think we said a point probably was the fair result. I think Elgin, they had the better chances that day than what we did, if I recall. So yeah, I mean, they're certainly... It's not going to be a gimme going up there and try to win the game. You can look at the league table and go, oh, they're, you know, is it their longest eighth in the table? Aren't they four for just above them? Stranraer below them? Yeah. So it's not going to be an easy game. I don't know. I think any game in this division is easy, but it's one that I think you've got to be winning just to go into the playoffs in a good bit of form. But, you know, there's that carrot there of you've got a good chance to, you know, put a firm marker doing for second place as well.
It'll be interesting to see what they do, because obviously, as I said earlier, they might have sort of one eye on, you know, preparing for next season, just the three games to go. they obviously want to try and finish as high as they can. They're 6 points behind East Fife. There's an outside chance that they could maybe overtake them, but they've got Dumbarton and Clyde in their last two games after us. Obviously, you know, again, Dumbarton might be still have second place to fight for. Clyde may well have a 10th place to try and avoid it become the last game of the season. So they potentially could see this as their sort of you know, final game to get points out of.
Probably. They're in that awkward area where the teams that they're playing might all have something to play for when they come to play them. Obviously, Clyde might be dead and buried by the time they do, but at this moment in time, they do have something to play for and they've got that fighting bit between their teeth. So, yeah, it's not a case of they've got nothing to play for. Mathematically, they can still get dragged into it, but I really kind of see it happening. I think Elgin will be fine. But hopefully that makes for an open game on Saturday, and both teams will want to go for the win, and we can, you know, try and pick them off hopefully at ease. But you know, I'm not expecting an easy game. I think it'll be tighter than Mace folk think, and it probably could be one of them games, like we said, Mace of the season, that the first goal could be crucial.
It's something we've mentioned as well. Obviously, it's an away game. We've got two away games left. No away wins this season since the in 2024. Six draws, three defeats. At some point, we might need to turn that into victories, especially going into the playoffs. Kevin Shanks is going to be suspended for this one. Rory may well be a doubt. So as you said, you know, we're looking then at the options for up front. One or two options there, but it's certainly ideal preparation having those two both missing.
No, rather they were both missing on Saturday rather than, you know, being in the playoffs. So that is a bonus. Yeah, that would be the criticism. Obviously, the draws and defeat in 2024 for the away form. That is something that, you know, you do not want to be solely reliant on your home form to try and get you through the playoffs. You want to be able to have that confidence to go away from home. So it would be a massive confidence booster if you get a win on Saturday and then follow up again the following week at Spartans.
18th of November since our last away victory, and that was at Spartans 2-1. So it's been a long time coming. Although, you know, a couple of those draws have been, you know, comebacks for, you know, been two down or three down. So you may look at them as maybe moral victories if you like. Jack Brown, as we mentioned earlier on, turned the game certainly with his enthusiasm. Must be in with a shout for a start again. This coming Saturday.
Yeah, I would think so. Just touching, does that show you how good our form was in the first quarter of the season? That when I won an away game since the 18th of November and we're still sitting second.
Yeah.
It just shows you. I mean, yes, we've had a few last gasp, East Fife away, Clyde away. We've been digging in right to the end, but that just shows you how good a start of the season we had. I think Jack will probably start on Saturday. I'm not sure whether it's a case of putting Jack wide and maybe putting Conor O'Keefe up front, depending on his. You know, his injury is that a case of Pollock maybe goes up there, and it's like almost like a false nine type thing. They've got ways to go about it. They've got the, you know, the players that can do it, but as you said, missing players like Sir Rory McAllister and Kieran Shanks, any team in this division would, you know, would lose the quality that they've got.
And Joe McKee as well, maybe might be a doubt as well, depending on how his injury was. Maybe it was just mere precaution as why he came off.
Hopefully, I mean, he seemed to stand up, and then he was crouched over on his knees, and then he went down. So hopefully it's not nothing that will keep him out too long, and he can be back in for the playoffs.
And that's the thing, we want to carry on with this good momentum. We're 6 unbeaten again for the third time, I think it is, this season. So you want to carry that on and keep it going into the crucial playoffs.
Yeah, this is the time of year to be on good form. It's the business end of the season. This is the one where, you know, everything that you've done in your previous 32, 33, 34 games will now come to fruition. You want to try and end the season on a positive note. And if we can get a win away from home for the first time this calendar year as well, it would even be better.
Okay, joining me now to get his take on Saturday's game is Elgin City supporter Andrew Watt. Andrew, welcome back to the Blue Team Podcast. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thanks for having us on again.
Not at all. seemed to be a bit of a regular occurrence, but I suspect you're a little bit more happier now than you were maybe the first time you came on.
Yeah, definitely. The season's been kind of like two halves of the season. The first half was a bit of a disaster, but after Christmas and the new manager coming in, we've seemed to pick up, and it's like a different season, kind of. But I'm a lot happier now, and hopefully we can secure the safety on Saturday.
Three games to go, but I kind of, you know, maybe kind of wishing that the season maybe had another 5 or 6 or 10 games to go as well.
Yeah, no. I kind of just want to get to the end and away and rebuild the team. There's going to be a lot of incomings and outgoings in the summer. It's going to probably be a whole new team. I would imagine probably 6 or 7 boys. I think a lot of teams, a lot of clubs will be in the same position. But then again, obviously when the football finishes, you kind of wish it was still going. So it's kind of one of those that you want it to end, but you don't.
Yeah. Just how good a job is Alan Hale done then since he's come in?
I can't speak highly enough of him. I think I said that last time I was on the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's been superb. Him and big shout out to Stefan as well. It came as a partnership. And the way they've turned around the club's fortunes from where we were 6 months ago to now is absolutely amazing. And we've had some very good results. Good result on Saturday as well against the champions. And if you'd said to me maybe 6 months ago after the shambles of Genefield, the Scottish Cup, and let's be honest, we were embarrassed all over the pitch. The club was toxic. The fans were, I was calling for the manager's head. I don't like doing that, but something had to change. And if you'd offered me the position we're in now under Alan Hale, that we can confirm our own status with two, three games to go, I'd have snatched your hand off. But as I say, it's been absolutely amazing turnaround. And I just wish that he'd maybe been appointed earlier and maybe we could have been pushing for a late charge for the playoffs. But I think it was all about with a team like Elgin and where we are in the world, it's all about safety. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing.
The players he's brought in, a few he's obviously known from the Highland League as well. How impressed have you been with them that have come in as well?
I can't fault any of his signings, to be honest. As you say, his knowledge of the Highland League in the North market is obviously top notch, and he's been around the Highland League a wee while now, so he can obviously pick up a few gems. Obviously, got in a couple of lads from Huntley. Lyle Booth, I think, has been absolutely superb. Dungana, he had a bit of a slow start, but he's starting to adjust the league too. Because I don't think a lot of people realise that it is actually a step up in level. Yeah. I think everything's a bit quicker. If you watch Highland League, I do watch a little bit of it, but you just watch the two leagues, it's quite different. Mm-hmm. It's a step up, and I think he's started to adjust. He has got a little injury just now, unfortunately. I think he's got Dejan Golden. He's probably been the one I've been most impressed with. He's got some vital goals. Maybe not as many goals as I thought he would maybe get, but he's been a big player and a big reason why we're sitting sixth in the league right now. And I can't remember who else we got, but that three is probably the main three we got as well. And Mark Gallagher. Mark Gallagher was the other one. He was Cove, absolutely superb player. I think he's far too good for League 2. But it's one of those, enjoy him while we can, because he could definitely play higher up.
Dejan Golden impressed us in the previous game up at Balmore. He also scored as well. He's been a standout player for you, isn't he?
He has. He's actually missed the last two or three games. He got 20 minutes on Saturday. He should have got a goal, maybe got a couple, but I think that's just a lack of games in the last kind of 3-4 weeks. So maybe, I don't know if he'll get 90 minutes on Saturday, but hopefully from the start, we can maybe get an hour out of him. And hopefully he can get another goal, because the last time we played you guys, I thought he took his goal really well.
Yeah.
I thought he absolutely terrorised your lad at right back. Can't remember who it was. I don't even think he was a right back. You might be able to correct me there if I'm wrong. But he absolutely terrorised him. And I thought he was probably our best player on the day.
Yeah, he was up against Caleb Goldie, who I think was playing his first game at centre-half, and I think it probably showed a little bit. But what did you make of that game overall then, the 1-1, and do you remember much of the game?
I had a few pints, but I do remember. I just kind of thought when you got the early goal, so many times this season Elgin's conceded in the first kind of 10, 15 minutes, sometimes even earlier than that, and you just thought it was a case of deja vu and here we go again. But that's what I've noticed under Alan Hale. It's been, even when we do fall behind, it's just a different mentality with the team. They're not going to fold, and they've got the belief in themselves that they can get back in the game. And even, as I say, when we went 1-0 down, I believed that we were going to get back in the game. I think I said to you beforehand that a lot of us that came through, we actually fancied getting something, despite our woeful record through at your place. I think it's 10 years since we last won there. But to get a point, a good performance, I think we had one off the line as well, in either the first or second half. I think it was the first half.
Yeah.
And then I would probably say, being a little bit biased, but I think we were a better team second half. Both teams had chances. It could have went either way, but I'll take the draw, despite our having chances to win it. But as I say, our record there, with our record there, sorry, being so poor, snatch your hand off for a point.
You're sitting six, as you said, 7 points above Clyde as it stands. But weirdly, you're only, 6 points behind East Fife in fifth, so it could go either way. I guess one more victory in the last couple of games would probably see you through. You've got Dumbarton after us in Clyde as well, in the last game as well, I think, as well. So it's in your hands to be safe, but is there a belief that you are safe now when you can start sort of preparing for next season?
Until we are mathematically safe, I'm not counting my chickens before the hatch. Just one win will do it. I think we had 40 points last season, and we're 38 now, so get to 41. As you say, it's in our own hands. I think we have to match Clyde's result at the weekend, or better it, and that's it, with a couple of games to spare. I think we've got Clyde in the last game, and they might end up coming up to Boro Briggs, fighting for their lives and needing to get the win. And obviously I don't want to go that far, because we've got yourselves and Dumbarton and Clyde as well. So it's a tough running, so the sooner we can get it done, the better, and hopefully it's on Saturday.
Well, if it's anything like the last game up there, then you're probably looking likely, because we were horrendous up at your place the last time. Obviously, you've mentioned a few of the guys that have commenced since Alan Hale's joined the club, but what's he done for some of the players that have been there already and maybe turned their performances around?
It's almost like he's rejuvenated a lot of the kind of guys that have been there for a number of years. It's just a new life about some of them, just a new belief that they're good enough to win games in this league, because obviously the last couple of seasons we've really struggled and we've been in a relegation scrap. Obviously we've finished 1 point above Albion last season, so that just shows you where we've been in the last kind of 12 to 18 months. So for him to come in, bring in these fresh blood, and then rejuvenate the players that are already here, just shows how good a coach he is. I did hear before he came in that he was very highly thought of in the Highland League and out with the Highland League, and I can see why now. I've got to admit, I didn't know much about him beforehand. I'd seen Huntley a couple of times, but I wasn't like I was looking at what Alan Hale does. I didn't know much about him, so but I'm seeing it week in, week out. It's just a different belief from the first half of the season, a different mentality, as I keep saying. Mm-hmm. It's night and day, mm-hmm. absolute night and day. And it's terrific to watch as a fan. It's exciting. I wish we could kill the games off. That's maybe my only criticism. But all in all, it's been good.
So Saturday then, what are you expecting from this game? Another tight one, you think?
A tough game. Tough game. I'm going to say I favour us against anyone at home, given mm-hmm. our home record this season. Yeah. We have generally been very good at home over the years. Probably teams don't like coming up to play us, and probably the same with yourselves. But no, I'm expecting another tough game. Obviously, you've got a certain Rory McAllister up front that I don't think he scored in the last game, but usually scores against us. So if you can keep him, and I quite like Kieran Sharks, mm-hmm. who scored in the game at Balmoor. I think he's a good player. And then I think you've signed Peter Pollitt as well, so if you can keep that kind of three players quiet, then you'll give yourself a foot in the game, give yourself a chance. But obviously, yous are second for a reason. You've got quality all over. So the first goal will be key, but I think it will be tight again. And hopefully we can just nick it.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that Kieran Shanks is suspended for Saturday, so that's at least one less player for you to worry about. A draw, would that be an okay result then?
Yeah, I think a draw would be all right, but obviously being at home and looking at the teams below still, you want to get the job done as quick as possible, so hopefully you can get 3 points, but a draw wouldn't be a disaster. Obviously, going to Dumbarton next week will be really tough. I think they've picked up in the last few weeks a couple of good wins, and they've confirmed themselves in the playoffs now as well. So you don't want to go down there and still having a fight for your life. So I'd rather get it done this weekend if we can. But as I say, it'll be another tough game, another tight game.
Yeah, it could be a really intriguing game on Saturday. Maybe a big crowd as well, so it could be a good atmosphere altogether. But Andrew, pleasure to talk to you over the course of the season, and good to speak to you at Balmoor the last time the two sides have met. Really good to be speaking to you over the course of the season, and it's good to sort of see your demeanour change as the season's going on as well, from being quite depressed and down in the dumps to,
yeah, you could say that,
to be looking forward to next season already. Yeah,
yeah, thanks for having us on, and yeah, definitely it's been a roller coaster of a season, absolute roller coaster, but hopefully the worst days are behind us now, and hopefully we can look up the way.
Absolutely. Best of luck with next season. Hopefully I'm not speaking to you next season, because hopefully we'll be in League One. But I say that to everybody, so I wouldn't worry about too much. But no, it's a genuine pleasure, and good luck with next season, as I say.
Thank you.
And that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Andrew Watt for joining me to preview Saturday's game at Elgin City, and to Martin Smith for being here as always. Thank you everyone for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, do appreciate them, and for listening. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon.